Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Dr. David Hughes is joining us live on the line. He's the chief medical officer at Kaleida Health. Doctor, thanks for joining us this morning. I know it's such a busy time for you and everybody over there. We heard that from the governor yesterday, and I think a lot of people kind of turned their heads and said, what? That's maybe the opposite of what we've been hearing. Anyone can go into a hospital and get tested. I'm guessing that's not the case in Erie County because we haven't heard of anything like that.
Good morning, and thank you for having me. And I appreciate you bringing up this incredibly important point, because testing is not widely available in Western New York, and you cannot just walk into a hospital and get testing for COVID-19. That is certainly not the case.
What is the case when it comes to testing? Who has the ability to be tested right now?
So in Erie County, there's very few labs doing testing. Those labs that are doing testing are restricted by supplies on reagent to actually run the lab test. But in addition to that, restricted on the collection kits where you have to collect the specimen from a patient. Those are in very, very short supply. So what we're doing as a health system is trying to prioritize any testing that is done in Erie County. And though that prioritization is basically on very ill inpatients in the hospitals and healthcare workers, we're restricting any and all testing to that population.
So people who are on the front line or who would be dramatically impacted by the results of a test.
That is exactly correct. And the reason the healthcare workers are important is because the advice now from the CDC is if you come into contact with somebody that has the virus, that you should quarantine yourself for 14 days. You can imagine if you took a healthcare worker and every healthcare worker that came into contact with a patient with the virus in the hospital, that they had to go home and quarantine for 14 days, we would not have a workforce. So what we're doing in those cases, if healthcare workers come into contact with somebody with the virus, we provide them with respiratory protection at this point in time, and we ask them to get tested. If they test negative, they continue to work. That provides us a bit more efficiency with regard to managing what we anticipate is coming down the pike with a surge in patient population.
Do we have any sort of an update as to when tests will be more available? We keep hearing that we have a lot of labs, hospitals around here that when those tests become available, they can run the tests. They do have the capacity to physically do them. It's just the materials aren't there. When will they be here?
Yeah, that's correct. I think we all every lab in Western New York has anticipated being supplied with materials. There is a nationwide shortage. Even some of the national labs that say that they're running this test are taking 5, 6, 7 days to potentially get results back. So the nationwide shortage is really what's driving the scarcity of the reagent to run the test at this point in time. And I don't see any time in the next 3-4 weeks that we're going to have enough reagent to test widely.
Whose shoulder does that fall on to get those reagents, to get those materials?
Well, that's a good question. And many would go right up to the federal government and blame the FDA for not allowing testing to occur earlier in this process. And certainly that's an issue. The governor did come out and relieved some restrictions on what the FDA typically restricts from a healthcare test, which is why I think you see some of the testing that's happening now in New York State able to happen. But I would say that goes all the way back to the FDA, to be frank.
Okay. And there's no real date in sight, no clarity as to when more will become available?
There is not at this time. And again, there's two different components to testing, one of which is collection, one of which is running the test in the lab. The collection point, believe it or not, at this time is kind of the rate limiting step. The swabs and the viral transport media that is required for those swabs to be in when you take that sample to the lab. That's kind of the thing in shortest supply right now. So there's multiple pieces to the testing.
Moving on, although this is probably very related to the testing, we've heard so much over the past couple of weeks about flattening the curve. Do we have any update on our progress toward that? Is it too soon for that? When would we know if we're making progress?
Well, you know, I think it's too soon for that at this point in time. We continue to see increasing numbers of COVID patients or suspected COVID patients. Flattening the curve really refers to flattening the algorithmic increase in cases. So that's going from 10 cases today to 100 cases 2 days from now, or 1,000 5 days from now. We want to flatten that from 10 today, 20 tomorrow, 30 the next day. That's technically what they mean when they mean flatten the curve. That takes time. That's kind of prospective. We are doing everything we can, and I urge all of you. Part of the reason why this testing is so important from a community standpoint is because one of the primary goals of the healthcare system in protecting healthcare workers is to urge patients not to come to a healthcare facility to get testing. That I cannot stress enough, because all you're doing by doing that is, if you do have the virus, you're bringing it into a healthcare setting, you're exposing healthcare workers, especially in the emergency departments. And again, that just stresses the system and puts more burden on the healthcare workforce that's on the front lines.
So many people are on edge, from the president, you know, all the way down to our next door neighbors, are wondering when we can kind of get back to normal and go outside to do things again, when things are going to be back open and people are going to be put back to work. Testing has to be an important part of that, right? In Niagara County, they're saying we don't really have a great grip on what our numbers, what the spread is like in Niagara County, because the tests don't really exist for it. Do we need that expansive testing before we can talk about reopening things when it comes to a public safety standpoint?
No, that's a good question. And no, to be frank. Just because we're testing does not mean that we're limiting the virus spread. If every one of us assumes that if they go outside and come into contact with others, that they're going to come into contact with the virus, if you make that assumption at baseline, then you stay home and you don't go to work. And you certainly, if you have any symptoms, you don't come into contact with other people. Testing is basically just a surrogate for what exists in the community from a virus standpoint. So we don't need widespread testing in our community to tell us that it's here. We know that it's in our hospitals basically by the symptoms that people are showing up with. So no, the testing is not the kind of the be-all end-all to deciding if and when this pandemic has subsided in our area.
Looking at this stimulus package that passed, there is a lot in there on funding for whether it's individual hospitals, in general healthcare systems throughout the country. I'm wondering how helpful that is at this time when you have this money coming in, but you can't really buy materials that don't exist. We're hearing about the shortage of masks, of all this equipment, of ventilators. Does the money help as much as just kind of reshoring that supply would?
Yeah. The money does help. And I'll tell you why. There's a multiple different fronts to this. But as we prepare for a surge in patients, we're doing everything we can as a hospital system, stopping elective surgeries. The clinic volume is way, way down. Emergency department volume right now is way down. We're emptying our hospitals. So as you can imagine, we're losing revenue basically at our hospital sites now, anticipating a surge in the future. So when that happens, you need to keep your personnel around. You need to be able to staff up. When you get a surge, you need to have available beds. So creating that availability of beds really decreases income to a hospital. So you can imagine that creates a cash flow issue. While that's happening, you're spending a lot of money training, prepping, trying to buy all of those things that are scarce, whether it be personal protective equipment, whether it be machines like ventilator, whether it be even things as simple as beds. All of those things we're in the process of purchasing at a time of a constricted cash flow because we have less business in the hospital. So you can imagine when those two lines come together, it creates a significant stress on the hospitals.
What can you say to reassure people who might be wondering, you know, if I have something totally unrelated to coronavirus, something goes wrong, I need to go to a hospital, I need medical attention, that they're going to be able to get the care they need with all of the craziness going on regarding coronavirus?
Those people should rest assured that the healthcare system is strong and is ready and there for them. And again, this goes back to our community taking part in this epidemic, meaning staying home, staying out of our facilities, because all of that stress that gets put on our facilities, people showing up to the emergency department just to be tested, they're taking away those resources from those individuals that are going to be sick anyway. So it's incredibly important to keep ourselves healthy in order to keep kind of our neighbors and our friends and family healthy.
Hey, we really appreciate the time and a very busy time for you. That's Dr. David Hughes, Chief Medical Officer at Kaleida Health.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.